and talking golf on The Fan.
Wow, good morning, and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 4. Happy Easter Sunday to you. Glad to be back for this Talking Golf show here on The Fan from 7 to 8 for its 13-week run on Sunday mornings. And you can hear the show on WFAN.com as well. And each show will be turned into a podcast so you can listen at your leisure. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Wow, where did the year go? Hope you're well and able to get out and play some golf already. I have some good news. I'm pleased to tell you that Talking Golf received the award for Best Radio Show in the International Network of Golf, the ING Media Competition, which was announced in January at the virtual PGA show. Now we can only enter one show in the radio category. So I picked the show where I interviewed Alex Lifeson, all you Rush fans, the legendary guitarist for the band Rush. He's a passionate golfer. I met him a couple years ago at Scotty Medlock and Robbie Krieger Celebrity Tournament in California. Krieger, the guitarist for the Doors, of course. Mike Nichols, the chief business officer for the Symetra Tour, the road to the LPGA. He was also interviewed on that show. So I'm happy to say that Talking Golf won. Had to share that news for you. Yay! Anyway, Masters Week is upon us. My favorite week in sports by far. And we'll preview the top contenders in a moment. Maybe even pick a winner by the end of the show. But yesterday afternoon, the second Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship round took place at Augusta National. Did you see it? It was unbelievable. 82 amateurs from around the world were invited. They played the first two rounds on Wednesday and Thursday at Champions Retreat Golf Club in Augusta. A cut took place after 36 holes, with the top 30 players advancing to yesterday's final round at Augusta National. Now, the entire field had the opportunity to play a practice round at Augusta National on Friday. What an amazing opportunity for these girls. 2 years ago, I was at the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur, the championship round. And last year, of course, it was canceled outright due to the pandemic. But in 2019, I'll never forget seeing Nancy Lopez, Annika Sorenstam, Siri Pack, Lorena Ochoa. They all hit their honorary tee shots off the first tee. And I was right there. And, you know, I have to tell you, I was really kind of overcome with emotion that the Augusta National Women's Amateur was taking place and that so many people there, the club, the patrons, they were all supporting women's golf. I mean, there were so many moms and dads there with their daughters. You could feel the electricity and the excitement everywhere. And then you go into the merchandising building and parents were buying souvenirs for their kids. I mean, just imagine the impact that these top amateur women players have on the young girls who were, you know, fortunate to watch in person, and everybody who watched on TV, who really saw right then and there that they too can dream big based on seeing these women playing in this championship at Augusta National. I remember being at the press conference in April 2018 when Augusta National Chairman Fred Ridley first announced that they were going to create this championship. Fred Ridley has three daughters, and he credits them for inspiring him to lead the efforts to create the Augusta National Women's Amateur. In the inaugural, those of you who watched it remember Jennifer Kupcho of Wake Forest University. She was the top amateur in the world at the time. She won, shooting a 67 in the final round. She played her final six holes in five under par and even had an eagle on the par 5-13th. Well, yesterday in the championship, nine players had at least a share of the lead at some point, and it came down to a two-person playoff, and 17-year-old Tsubasa Kajitani of Japan won on the first extra hole, the 18th, over Emilia Migliaccio. Migliaccio is a senior at Wake Forest. Kajitani, she parred the first playoff hole. Migliaccio bogeyed it. Unfortunately for her, her mother was caddying for her, which was a good story. And so the 17-year-old from Japan, Kachitani, won. I actually thought Rose Zhang, the top-ranked amateur in the world currently, was going to win. I mean, she shared the lead to start the championship round, and she was just so composed, so calm. But she triple bogeyed the 13th, hitting Ray's Creek twice. So anyway, the women played it from 6,365 yards. And at Augusta National, it was about 225 yards longer than how the members play it from the members' tees. And the guys this week during the Masters will play it at 7,475 yards. Anyway, New Jersey's own Mega Gane from Homedale, New Jersey, was one of the 82 amateurs invited to play in this year's Augusta National Women's Amateur, and Mega is coached by Katie Rudolph. Katie has been Mega's only coach, and Katie, in addition to being an LPGA and PGA certified teaching professional, is also the COO of First Tee, the Metropolitan New York chapter. And Katie has been in Augusta all week with Mega, and Katie will join us in a few minutes to tell us all about her experience. So can't wait for that. And in the second half of the show, we'll connect with Sid Matthew, the foremost expert on the great Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones, as you know, the only player ever to have won the Grand Slam, all four major championships of his time in the same calendar year. And the year was 1930. You know, Bobby Jones, he founded and co-designed Augusta National Golf Club and co-founded the Masters Tournament. So we'll get the inside scoop from Sid Matthew, who has authored many books on Bobby Jones, countless articles. He produced and wrote a two-hour documentary that was played on CBS for years during Masters Week called The Life and Times of Bobby Jones. And, you know, the Masters and Augusta National, they just have this fascinating history. So to kick off Masters Week, I thought we'd talk to Sid and share some of his best info and stories. All right, well, Masters. You can't bring up the Masters without bringing up five-time Masters champ Tiger Woods. And he's recovering at home from that scary car crash in Los Angeles this past February. Oh, boy, he's lucky to be alive, really. He suffered multiple open fractures, which affected the upper and lower portions of his right tibia and fibula. And then doctors inserted a rod into the tibia. He suffered injuries to the bones in his right foot and ankle. Just really a mess. But his presence will obviously be missed at this year's Masters. And, you know, we certainly wish him the very best and hope he has a full recovery. I mean, at 45 years of age and with all the surgeries that he's had, you know, hopefully he'll be able to function without pain. I mean, the question is, obviously, will he ever play professional golf again? Well, we'll have to devote a future show on that and talk to doctors and experts familiar with those injuries and what the prognosis could be. Well, certainly you remember Dustin Johnson's victory in the first ever November Masters just 5 months ago. He ended up shooting a 68 in that final round for a Masters record 20 under par 268. DJ beating Cameron Smith of Australia and Sun Jae-im of South Korea by five shots. Well, DJ withdrew from this week's Valero Texas Open, choosing instead to spend the week at home in preparation for the Masters. He said he played a practice round at Augusta National a couple weeks ago, and that the course is in immaculate condition. Obviously, it seems to always to be in immaculate condition. Back in November, the conditions were very, very soft. And, you know, you could be a lot more aggressive. And he was saying he could hit longer irons because they would stop and then hold the green. He went on to say he imagines Augusta National will be firm and fast, especially if they have good weather. And I'll look at the forecast in a second, but you've got to love DJ's chances to repeat as champion. I admire his game so much. I mean, his mental approach, he keeps it simple, which is really hard to do. He has matured in the last couple years. He's unflappable. Let's look at his results leading up to these Masters. He placed 11th at the Century Tournament of Champions in January. He placed 8th at the Genesis Invitational in February, 54th at the WGC Workday Championship at the Concession, 48th at the Players' Championship. So we're not talking really stellar finishes leading up to the Masters. So do I think he'll repeat as Masters champ? I mean, it could happen, but any number of players can win. Those who minimize mistakes, obviously, who handle the speed of the greens the best, it's really all about putting yourself in good position to do so. And draining putts. You have to make those putts. And really playing flawless golf, no mistakes. It's tough, man. It's so tough. It's so exciting. Cameron Smith became the first golfer to shoot all four rounds in the 60s when he did that in November. Look for the Aussie to continue his fine play at Augusta National. Lee Westwood. He's had 2 runner-up finishes in his last 3 events and 5 top 8 finishes at Augusta since 2010. Could you imagine if Lee Westwood could emerge as a Masters winner at the young age of 47? That would be a great story. Jordan Spieth. He shares the lead at 12 under with Matt Wallace at the Valero Texas Open and just missed an eagle on that final hole in yesterday's third round. He's looking for his first win in 3 years. And here's an interesting stat for Spieth. This is his 19th career 54-hole lead, co-lead on tour. But he's 9 for 18 so far, converting to wins when he holds at least a share of the lead after 54 holes. Wouldn't you love to see Jordan Spieth win a second Masters? Let's see. He has 3 top 5 finishes, 4th at the Arnold Palmer, 3rd at the AT&T Pebble Beach, and 4th at the Phoenix Open. But he stumbled at the Players' Championship, finishing 48th. And at the Masters in November, Spieth finished 46th. All right, well, Bryson DeChambeau, he was the favorite to win last November, and he finished tied for 34th. And he's averaging 320 yards off the tee, but his percentage of hitting fairways is not good. So he's going to have to, you know, work on that stat and just not have to scramble as much as he is. But I like his chances. He's just incredible. And Brooks Koepka, obviously recovering from surgery. He had surgery on his right knee March 16th and very doubtful he will be playing, although he can commit to play anytime, obviously before Thursday. In 2016, he injured his ankle. In 2018, his wrist. 2020, last year, his left knee. I mean, this guy is just so injury prone. I love Brooks Koepka's game. But I'm just wondering why, you know, he's had so many injuries in the last couple of years. A lot of these players work out too intensely, lifting weights. They overdo it in the gym, I think. But I don't know if that's what's causing some of his injuries. But, you know, a lot of these guys, I just think, work out too much. You know, it's a shame because Koepka has missed 3 majors in the last 5 years. He was just on a roll, and now his toughest opponent seems to be his body. Rory McIlroy trying to complete a career Grand Slam. He finished 5th in the Masters this past November. Gosh, he has so much talent. He's so capable of winning the Masters, but he needs to be consistent. Could be Justin Thomas's time. He's coming off his big win at the Players' Championship. He placed 4th in the November Masters last year, and he's had consistent top 20 results since those Masters. So JT is poised to put on a green jacket. Anyway, the first major on the women's calendar is going on. So much in golf going on this weekend. The ANA Inspiration taking place in Rancho Mirage, California. And Patty Tavatonakit has a huge lead at 14 under. She is 5 shots ahead of Ellie Ewing and Miriam Lee. She's 21 years old, former UCLA player from Thailand. So great that this major's going on, the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the Valero Texas Open. There's a lot happening here. All right, we are going to take a quick break, come back, talk about the Augusta National Women's Amateur with Katie Rudolph, the coach of Mega Gane, who at 17 years of age is already a veteran of play at Augusta National. How great is that?
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Yay! Welcome back. Happy Easter. Glad you can join me. You can always be in touch via Twitter at Ann Liguori, on Instagram at The Ann Liguori, and on Facebook, LinkedIn. You know it. Would love to hear from you. Katie Rudolph coaches Megha Gane, who played in the Augusta National Women's Amateur this past week. Katie is also the COO of First Tee Metropolitan New York, and she joins us right now. Katie, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey, good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So delighted you can join us. And boy, your student, I mean, her resume already, she's only, what, 17. She's a four-time drive, chip, and putt national finalist. In 2019, she finished second place in her age division. She's played in five junior events in 2020, recorded four top three finishes. I mean, it just goes on and on. She was the 2018 AJGA champion. Boy, I think the most impressive stat, though, is she's already appeared at Augusta National, what, five times?
Yeah, this was her fifth time.
How did you initially connect with her?
Well, I've been her coach since she was seven, and I first met her. She was participating in a LPGA USGA girls golf group clinic, and I saw her there, and I saw her hit the ball, and I immediately asked her if I could go find her dad, and I needed to know more. So even from her first swings that she was making at seven, I knew that there was something special.
Wow, age seven. Good for her. And then so you brought her over to the First Tee, the Metropolitan chapter?
Yeah, so from there, I was already teaching at the First Tee over in Newark, and it was just going to be easier if she was just enrolled into the program so that I could be with her more often. And once we enrolled her, she realized she absolutely loved the First Tee. It wasn't even about me anymore. She was showing up because she just thought the First Tee was so cool, and she had so much fun with all of her friends there. So she's been a First Tee participant ever since.
So did her parents get her into it at seven? I mean, that's a great age to start.
I think they were just trying different things. She was doing, just like every parent, where you dabble in all kinds of different sports. And luckily, I saw her when she was trying golf and asked her if she could continue with it.
So tell us about your experience this week with Megha. Take us through the whole week.
This, I have to say, women's golf there is a new bar that has been set in women's amateur golf. This week was unbelievably perfect from every single aspect that you look at it from the, obviously, the playing the most iconic golf course in the world, but even the hospitality, the every detail of the week was laid out for you. You had to do nothing but just play golf here. And the golf course is in absolutely perfect condition. So from the beginning, though, I got here on Monday, and I am exhausted. I can't wait to go home.
I bet.
It's been 24/7 since we got here. But I have no complaints. It was just amazing.
So you went to a dinner, right? Or did just the competitors go?
So just Megha gets to go. And then she took her mom with her. And they came back raving with, you just can't believe what's inside. And, you know, they got to go into the clubhouse and go to all the different areas inside of the clubhouse and things like that. And everything was amazing. So her dad and I were left flying solo. So we went to dinner by ourselves.
That clubhouse is amazing. It's just such a treat to go inside and look around. And oh my God, why have I had the opportunity to play Augusta National three times? The Monday after the Masters in the media lottery, and you know, it's just, and then the last time I played, we even were, you know, had a locker in the clubhouse, which was unbelievable. And so I can understand just how excited, you know, she's been this whole week, because it's such a special place. But so talk about the first two rounds. They were played at Champions Gate, right? Not Champions Gate, Champions Retreat.
Champions Retreat. It was. Right. So it's a facility that's probably 20 minutes away from Augusta National, and that facility is beautiful in itself. If if the whole event had been there. But the golf course was set up really long, very, very wet. The fairways were really wet, and then the greens were really hard, and then the wind was howling. So it was a really tough test to golf, and it was so cold. I was shivering the entire time, even though I had on every layer that you could possibly wear on a golf course.
I know Megha Gané. She said she didn't have her A game. She shot a 77 in the first round, an 80 in the second round at Champions Retreat. So she missed the cut, I think by 6 shots. She was 7 over. But what happened? You know, did she just – I mean, she's in New Jersey. She doesn't – she said she really hasn't played much, right?
She hasn't played much, but I don't think we even have – there's no excuse. I mean, we were prepared. We had – she did some Florida trips to get ready. I think we were just served up a nice slice of humble pie, and we've got to eat it and gobble it up and reset ourselves and come home and get back to work. But the golf course is such that you can't make a mistake because there's just nowhere to make up for it later. The very next hole you're going to is asking you to make an 8 on it at all times because it was just so long, then the wind was howling so hard. It wasn't like you think about Augusta, as hard as Augusta is, there's birdies out at Augusta everywhere. And that's not the case over at Champions Retreat. So when she got herself in a hole early, she tried really hard to get out of it, which just caused more problems. So it snowballed on her a little bit. But again, we're going to get back to work. I think she's just fine. She's so resilient. She bounces right back from things like this. But that said, she was really bummed out that she didn't get to compete on the big stage.
But she got to play Augusta National with all the competitors on Friday, right? I mean, how great is that?
That's not the worst consolation prize that you could ask for. So she put her chin up and she got right back out there and absolutely just glided down the fairways, had the best time. Hit all the shots all the iconic shots. She birdied 12 and skipped it over the water on 16. And so she got to do those things that were just so magical. It was just awesome.
And how did the course look to you, Augusta National?
Oh my gosh, it looks amazing. It's absolutely perfect. The azaleas are going to be ready to go for the Masters. They were blooming for us, but I think they're trying to save them a little bit. So the weather was really cold for us. We were all bundled up, but I think it's going to be in the 80s next week. So the golf course is absolutely perfect. The greens are perfect. So it's everything you would expect.
And so what next? What's next for your student, Megha Gané?
Well, we're going to go home and reevaluate a little bit, but she's really good at understanding the process. So it's not like we need to go back to the drawing board or anything. But she has a lot of tournaments lined up for this spring and this summer. She's playing in the Junior Ryder Cup. She's Junior Solheim Cup. So there's a lot of fun. The Curtis Cup is coming up. So there's all kinds of fun events for her to be playing in. Up next, I think, is the four ball. And that's in Texas. The USGA four ball is next. So she plays in all the big events, and she's getting used to this big stage. So I'm really excited for her. Even though this week was not her best showing, I'm not concerned. She has a very, very bright future ahead of her.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just incredible. And the fact that she's a four-time drive, chip, and putt national finalist. She finished second in her age division. It's going on any moment. It's about to start at Augusta National, the drive, chip, and putt nationals. And just all that experience for a young woman at Augusta National is just unprecedented, right? It's just what opportunities for her.
Really, and it was really funny to walk around with my 17-year-old student because she's introducing me to all of her friends that are all the members, and Mr. Ridley, of course, and Diane Murphy was there. And it's just so funny because it's like my 17-year-old student's introducing me to some of the most influential people in golf, and I was smiling ear to ear of how proud I was of her because she's so good and so mature in those situations. And it comes natural to her, and she just really does want to introduce you to Fred Ridley because he's her friend. So, and it's like, wow, that's really special, Mega. You don't realize how what a neat thing this really is that you're doing. I think she does, actually. I don't mean that. She does realize it.
Were you at Augusta National? Was she at Augusta National yesterday for the championship round to watch?
Yeah, we soaked in every moment. And that's another thing that's so cool about Mega. She missed the cut by a mile at Champions Retreat, and most kids, there were some big numbers in, so she was not alone in how difficult the course condition was. We really got beat up. But most of the kids went home in a puddle of tears and just wanted to get out of there. And Mega, on the other hand, she wanted to stick around because she had one of her friends was right on the cut line. So we stayed around for 3 hours and watched the playoff because she wanted to be there to support her friend. And it just really shows, like, she understands the big picture. She was heartbroken, of course, but this really meant a lot to her, and she wanted to be there to support her friend. And then yesterday we watched Rose Zhang, who will be Mega's teammate at Stanford, and we watched her from the first hole to the last hole, and she just really wanted to soak in the whole event because it is such a special place.
Yeah, I thought she was going to win, Rose. I mean, she looks so composed. She's, you know, she was what tied for the lead going into the championship round, and then she had that triple on the 13th, and she didn't really, she doesn't show that much emotion, which is a good thing when you're playing golf, but boy, these women are so good. It was such a pleasure to watch, really.
She's so good, and actually it's funny that Rose doesn't show emotion because she's just a bundle of fun off the golf course, really talkative. We've gotten to know her really well this week because Mega's now going to Stanford. They've become fast friends, and she's a blast off of the. She looks so stoic on the golf course, but she goofs around and has a good time. And she's a really just also a fun 17-year-old. But it goes to show golf is such a silly, weird game because Rose has won the last six events that she played in, and then you would think she was just going to go for a walk at Augusta National and collect her trophy, and it was turned out to not be the case, of course.
Well, you have made such a tremendous impact on so many young people, not only with golf, but with, you know, just life management overall, and you are to be congratulated, and you're the COO of First Tee Metropolitan New York. Katie, boy, you do it all. Congratulations for your incredible career.
Well, thank you. The First Tee has been a dream come true to hang my hat there because I get to be a part of so many kids' lives and help shape them and influence them. And First Tee brings golf to kids that otherwise probably wouldn't have access to golf. So you really open a lot of kids' eyes up to this really, really amazing game. So I've been really, really happy to be at First Tee for as long as I have.
Wow, what an impact you're making, really. So Mega's going to Stanford?
She is. She signed on June 15th was the day that you could even start receiving calls, and the coach called her, and Mega said, let's get this lined up. I want to do it today. So the very day that you could call prospect students, Mega signed with Stanford. So she's really happy to have that because she'll definitely be a four-year athlete. She's very into the education, and she'll most certainly get her degree at Stanford. So it's great.
And is she a senior now in high school?
No, she's only a junior.
She's only a junior. That's what I thought. So she has another year, but she's already committed. Well, good for her. Her future, it looks so bright. And what a great experience this week at with the whole Augusta National Women's AM. And Katie, before I let you go, who are you picking to win the Masters? Put you on the spot.
I don't know. Lee Westwood's playing such good golf. Should I pick Lee Westwood?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, why not? 47
why
years
not?
Young.
That would be kind of a special story. So maybe I'll go out on a limb and pick Lee Westwood.
Hey, he's one of the contenders I mentioned earlier in the show. Thank you so much, Katie, for joining us. Really appreciate it, and continued success.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Katie Rudolph coaches Mega Gane, who played in the Augusta National Women's AM and is also the COO of First Tee Metropolitan New York. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the leading historian of golf legend Bobby Jones. His name is Sid Matthew. It's Masters Week, and the story of the origin of Augusta National and the Masters is fascinating, I think, and Sid will enlighten us with some great stories.
Is Talking Golf on Sunday morning with you right here on The Fan.
Well, welcome back. We have about 14 minutes left, and Sid Matthew, he's joining me right now. He's written 10 books, countless articles. He wrote and produced a documentary, The Life and Times of Bobby Jones, and continues to research and share information about the greatest amateur golfer in history. Of course, Bobby Jones won the Grand Slam of Golf in 1930. He co-founded Augusta National Golf Club in 1931, and he played in his first Masters tournament in 1934, and Sid Matthew is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Sid. Welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Now, Augusta National, Sid, was organized and built at the height of the Depression. Not an ideal time to start anything, right?
Well, the whole economy was folded up. Golf courses were going bankrupt. They were not building them. They were shutting them down. And, you know, it was the biggest challenge that any golf development has ever faced. But they pulled it off.
They certainly did. And in 1934, they came up with the idea of hosting a tournament that would generate revenue and publicity. It was originally called the Augusta National Invitational. And what I found interesting in reading one of your many articles, they got the international media on board by paying for their travel between New York and Augusta and putting them up in a hotel.
That's exactly right. You know, one of the originators was Grantland Rice, the famous sports writer. And all of the sports writers were at the Grapefruit League baseball in Florida, covering the practice and the tournaments in Florida. And so Grantland persuaded them to stop in Augusta on their way north during the spring, and thus they started the tournament in April. And they got all of the sports writers to go to the tournament, but, you know, the gate did not come in on the first tournament. So Singer sewing machine magnate Alfred Severn Borne had to reach in his pocket and come up with the $5,000 purse for the first tournament because they were broke. Yeah, nobody showed up but the sports writers.
Now, how did Bobby Jones find Fruitlands Nursery, which is the land that obviously Augusta National was
well, it was started by the Berkman's family as a nursery, and then Commodore Stoltz, who owned some hotels in South Florida and New York, decided to develop it into a residential golf course community in 1929. Depression hit. His hotel in Miami went broke, and so he folded up the development. And Walton Marshall, who was with Bonaire Vanderbilt Hotels, found the property, told Cliff about it, Cliff Roberts, and Cliff Roberts then invited Bob to come see it. And Bob walked out on the veranda, and he looked out there, and he said, "It looks like a golf course has already been laid on this property." You know, he fell in love with it, and then the rest is history.
Well, I know Augusta National was the inspiration of Bobby Jones and Alistair McKenzie, but Bobby Jones greatly admired Donald Ross. So why did Bobby Jones choose Alistair McKenzie over Donald Ross when designing Augusta National?
Well, of course, Bob Jones was enamored with the golf course that was the love of his life, the old course at St. Andrews. He first saw it as a 19-year-old kid in 1921 when he went over to play in the Open. And he later said that if he was sentenced to play on one golf course for the rest of his life, it would be St. Andrews. And, of course, the reason is that St. Andrews is not obvious at all. You never play that golf course the same way twice. And there's always a way, a new way to play it. And so Bob really wanted somebody who knew more about St. Andrews than any other golf course architect. And that person happened to be McKenzie. McKenzie did the line drawing, the first survey of the old course in 1924 for the R&A. And so Bob respected Donald Ross. He rerouted East Lake in 1913, making it, you know, the tour championship course that it is. He did the number two course at East Lake, and he also did Highlands in 1928 for East Lake. That was Bob's summer course where he tuned up for the Masters. And so Alistair McKenzie really was the person that that Bob needed to not to copy the holes at St. Andrews, but to try to recreate the shot values and the feel of the course. We also know that there was somebody else in 1931 that Bob invited to design Augusta, but that fell through, and I'm publishing that next week. You can go to Golf Digest, and you'll find a new story about Bob's first choice that didn't come to pass, and that'll be that's a very shocking new revelation.
Wow. So Alistair McKenzie was not his first choice?
It turns out that Alistair McKenzie was not his first choice. Bob picked another architect that we're going to reveal next week, and it was an established British architect that Bob valued, because once again, the common denominator for Bob was St. Andrews.
Sure.
Because it was such a special golf course.
Now, how did you uncover this latest development?
Well, it's interesting. When Bob passed, his daughter, youngest daughter, recovered all of his office files and put them in her garage for 50 years. And then when she passed and her husband passed, they went to the granddaughter, and the granddaughter put them in her garage for another 30 years. And finally, just the last few months, started poking around in the files and found this correspondence between Bob and the new
mystery designer.
The mystery designer. Yeah, really. It's a fascinating story. And, of course, you know, Alistair McKenzie was in Great Britain in June of 1931 when he was selected by Bob. The mystery architect actually got into a fight with his partners, and they disbanded the firm. And, of course, it was the height of the Depression, so he didn't want to do it by himself, and the offer fell through. So Clifford Roberts and Bob had to pick, you know, quickly the next person on the list, and that turned out to be McKenzie, who was in Great Britain at the time. This is about June 4. McKenzie returned to the United States and then got to work on Augusta.
So let's move to the relationship between Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts. I understand Clifford Roberts was a very tough guy to like, from what I've read. Tell us some stories about Clifford Roberts.
Well, Clifford Roberts was an investment banker, and he was from New York, and he used to travel to Augusta in the early 20s, 25, 6, 7, around in there. Every year, he'd bring a group from New York down to Augusta because it was delightful weather. It was 10 degrees lower than Atlanta, and they all got together, and it was the captains of industry. It was the president of the Bank of Chicago, Mel Traylor. It was Eugene Grace, Bethlehem Steel. It was Rex Cole of Rex Cole Refrigeration, and the head of NBC, M.H. Osworth, all captains of industry. And Cliff invested money for them. Interestingly, Mel Traylor, the chairman of the National Bank of Chicago, accurately predicted the stock market crash and told Cliff about it ahead of time, but Cliff did not follow his advice and get his clients out of the market, and they all lost all their money.
Oh my gosh.
But Cliff was very clever, and he got all of the investors together that had any money left, and they had to go through several reorganizations. They didn't declare bankruptcy, but they changed the partnership into a corporation, and then it went defunct, and they were always scrambling for money. They did not even have the money to pay Alistair McKenzie's architect fee. And McKenzie wrote a letter in 1933 to Cliff Roberts that said, "Dear Cliff, the depression in California is so bad that I've sold my golf clubs and I'm down to my last $100. Could you please see fit to pay me something toward my fee in Augusta?" And Cliff wrote back and said, "Dear Dr. McKenzie, the depression is terrible in Georgia too, and we don't have any money to pay you, and be glad you got $100 and make sure that you get your work done on Augusta on time." So Cliff was kind of a prickly fellow. Morton Hodgson, R.W. Woodruff of Coca-Cola's nephew, used to tell stories about how Bob Jones and Cliff would go down to South America, and they had three golf courses down there, Coca-Cola bottling plants down there. They played golf on the golf courses, and Morton said that they got on an elevator one time, and a foreign national got on, and Morton said, "Buenos dias." Bob Jones did not speak Spanish. He said, "Buenos dias." Cliff said nothing. And when they got off the elevator, Bob pulled Cliff close to him and said, "Cliff, that was rude. You know, I don't speak Spanish, but I said buenos dias. You could have at least been courteous enough to do that." And Cliff pushed off and said, "Bob, you know, I don't speak Spanish. And if I said buenos dias, the man might have thought that I spoke fluent Spanish. I would not have been able to respond to him. It would have created an international incident. So hell no, I'm not going to say buenos dias." So you can imagine he had a pretty prickly relationship with Bob. They got their financial ox in the ditch, and Cliff arranged for Bob to go up to Citibank and meet with a banker, Doug Smith. They played Blind Brook, and Bob asked Doug to come into the locker room for a libation. They talked about the deal, got the financing terms right. And then Bob said, "Doug, I just have to call Cliff and run it by him." So they brought a phone in, and Bob had to hold the phone about 6 inches away from his ear. And Doug could hear on the other side, "No, no, we're not doing that. No, 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 no." And he was so embarrassed that when Bob hung up, Doug said, "Well, what did Mr. Roberts say?" And Bob Jones said, "Cliff said that'd be fine."
You have so many great stories, man. Oh, my God. We could talk forever. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Sid Matthew, the foremost authority on Bobby Jones. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to read this Golf Digest article about this new revelation about Bobby Jones' original choice to co-design the Augusta National.
Yeah, Jerry Tardy's going to post that next week on Golf Digest. So everybody should look out for that. It's fascinating and explains more of the turmoil and adverse relationship that circumstances that Augusta faced in its early days. So it'll be a lot of fun for everybody.
You're just an incredible encyclopedia, really. And I understand that all your boxes of research and interviews that you did about Bobby Jones are with Emory University now. Did I read that?
Yes. Emory's got 22 linear feet of four-drawer lateral file cabinets of my research over the last 30 years.
Unbelievable. Sid Matthew, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Happy Easter to everybody.
Happy Easter. My thanks to Sid Matthew, to Katie Rudolph, to Connor Green in the studio, to all of you for listening. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. All right, my pick for the Masters, How about Jordan Spieth for his second green jacket? He's primed and ready to rock. Three top five finishes in the last few months. Co-leader in today's final round at the Valero Texas Open. Stay tuned for the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf. I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGorrie.